10 days till Christmas, and a prophet cries, water in the wilderness, blossoming land, springs for the thirsty ground, pools for burning sand. 10 days till Christmas, and the prophet cries, dry lands rejoicing, the desert flowers, beautiful as fertile fields, see God's power. 10 days till Christmas, and the prophet cries, a path for God's people, no going astray, all dangers and sadness chased away. 10 days till Christmas, and the prophet cries, courage for the fearful, strength for the weak, the blind, the deaf, the mute will see and hear and speak. 10 days till Christmas, and the prophet cries, return, rescued people, come to God in song, in everlasting joy, stay where you belong. In the days post-general election, there will be people joyful at the result and others worried about the desert they fear they may be entering. Politics can be brutal, as many discovered in the wee small hours of Friday morning. Having been in the privileged position of offering support to a sitting MP who subsequently lost their seat at a previous election, someone of a different party to my own of choice, I should add, I have seen firsthand how devastating losing can be. There is no joy in watching and witnessing that. I hope that in our prayers we can spare a thought for all former MPs, their staff and families who face Christmas with uncertainty. There will be little joy for them. Joy, our Advent word for today. And as our joy candle burns brightly along with the other two, we can look to our Bible readings for a sense of joy. Christmas is just 10 days away. Over the weeks of Advent, we have been dipping into the rich resource that is the book of Isaiah. And we've heard of words of hope and peace. We have journeyed through Advent with the voice of an ancient prophet guiding our way. And we continue that journey today with the added interjection of the voice of a young girl full of joy at the baby that is growing inside her. The words of Isaiah and the words of the Magnificat stand proudly side by side, a perfect match, and both speak of a time when all will be well. As we've journeyed through Advent, the words of Isaiah have reminded us that long before Mary felt the baby Jesus kick within her, that his birth was foretold. Isaiah's words have pointed to this moment. And it's been good not to rush in and head straight for the crib, but to hold back and wonder again at the promises of the prophets who foresaw things that they would never witness for themselves. The prophets gave the world the signposts to what was to come. Signposts and directions are an important part of any journey. Without them, we can get lost. And you might think that once we know the way, we can do the same journey again without them. But there's the danger that we risk when we head straight for the crib at the beginning of December and we get sucked into the Christmas vacuum that the world seems to think needs to take over our lives from October onwards. And the risk is that when we do that, we miss out so much of the view on the way. It's like taking the scenic route, but keeping our heads buried in a book and missing out. The period of Advent is our scenic route. And like most journeys made by the scenic route, it should be taken at a leisurely pace, not rushed, or worse still, missed altogether. Isaiah, in our reading this morning, talks of a time when everything will be put right, when the weak will be strong, the blind will be able to see, and the deaf will hear. The lame will leap and dance, and those who cannot speak will shout for joy. This is a vision of our world where all is made whole. People and the desert will all be filled with life. And not just that the route that they travel will be a safe one, but that it will be a holy highway. A highway we can travel safe from sin and attack. A highway that, like our pathway, leads to wholeness. This holy highway is a road we travel accompanied by God. He does not leave our side. He provides the protection and is the road we can all travel, because on this road we are all made whole. And this holy highway leads to Jerusalem. They will reach Jerusalem with gladness, singing and shouting for joy. They will be happy forever, forever free from sorrow and grief. In Advent, we look forward to the coming of God incarnate, God coming into the world as one of us. And he comes, a tiny baby, born into a human family, a baby that brings so much promise, a promise of a new world where all are whole. Alan Bemin puts it like this. He wrote, "We have been talking about Advent as a time of looking forward. In Advent, we're looking forward to something better than the injustice and violence and suffering all around us. We're looking forward to someone better who will set things right for everybody. We're looking forward to the kindness and generosity and compassion of our God being fulfilled for all the peoples of the world. It is not folly to look forward to God's new world, God's something better. Looking forward to peace on earth and mercy mild is the heart and soul of our faith. Our faith still rests on the good news that in Jesus Christ, that God has entered this world definitively to set everything right and make all things new. That in Jesus the Christ, God has come into this world and has become Emmanuel, God with us. And that in and through this marvelous event, light and life to all he brings, this hope, this faith, is what gives us energy to sustain our love as we seek to contribute to God's something better by transforming our corner of the world." We look forward during Advent. We don't look back. We step onto our paths. We seek out this holy highway. We seek out the way to the crib. And as the weeks go by and our paths change, we keep on heading in the right direction and we reach the crib. And it's not far away now. It's almost in sight. Mary's song, the Magnificat, is so full of hope and promise. It truly is a joyful song. And it's known as the Magnificat because in the Latin version, Magnificat is the first word. It's not complicated. But it's a great title for a beautiful song. And how wonderful it is that our biggest tree here is decorated with the Magnificat in mind. Mary sings her song of joy about what God has done and will do in the world. It's a song that sings a repeated pattern from the song of Hannah in the days before King David, 1,000 years before Christ, to the song of the psalmist. We hear again and again that God's work in this world consists of setting things right. And Mary sings her song of joy because she sees the birth of her son as the beginning of the fulfillment of the hope that people like her had been singing about for generations. Turning again to Alan Bemin, he reflects on this, saying these words, "That's why we celebrate Advent and Christmas. It is a time for us to focus our attention on God's work in this broken world. It is a time for looking for the salvation that God has promised, and a time of singing for joy over what God is already doing among us. It is a time to celebrate the work of restoration God is carrying out in the human family, the whole human family. And it is a time for us to join in that work. In Advent, we sing because we look forward to something better than the violence and suffering and injustice all around us. We look forward to the kindness and generosity and compassion of our God being fulfilled for all the peoples of the world. We look forward in Advent. We look forward and we sing songs of hope that enables us to look past our fears and our hearts and our suspicions and view those around us with God's compassionate love. This joyful faith is what gives us energy to sustain our love as we join in God's work of transforming all creation by making a difference in our corner of the world. I love that last sentence. This joyful faith is what gives us energy to sustain our love as we join in God's work of transforming all creation by making a difference in our corner of the world. Mary's joyful faith that all will be well is a model for each of us to follow. Despite our fears and anxieties, God promises joy. Despite our loss and grief, God promises joy. Despite our neediness and lack of resources, God promises joy. Despite ourselves, God promises joy. In the arid places, water will gurgle up. In the barren places, life will sprout. Frozen wastes of hearts and lives will be lovingly thawed and nurtured and infused by joy. We cannot stop it. God infiltrates our best efforts and our worst and causes joy to bubble up in the hopeless places. However unlikely it may seem, be prepared to experience this promised joy. Amen.